Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Metzia, daf Pei Gimel. Today we are going to finish the sixth parak of the Masechta. We're going to finish Hasocheres HaUmnin. We're going to start the seventh parak of the Masechta, which is Hasocheres HaPoalim. So the order of the daf is going to be as follows. First, we're going to pick up with the conversation with which we left off yesterday, where we were discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that if a person is transporting an item on behalf of his friend from one place to the next, and then something happens, we started to discuss yesterday exactly what happens, and the chavis breaks, then whether he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, he can take a shvua, and he can absolve himself from any liability in connection with the mishap. So we were discussing yesterday that what type of shvua it is. What's he taking a shvua? So we saw it's a shvua shelo pashati. It's a shvua that he was not a poshea. And we started to discuss in the Gemara why exactly that should absolve him. Shouldn't it depend on whether the guy is considered to be a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar? Because a shomer chinam, granted, is liable only for pshia. So if he takes a shvua shelo pashati, then he's established himself as not being liable for the mishap. However, if he's a shomer sachar, and we're dealing with the type of mishap which is not a pshia, but it's also not an ones, it's sort of in the middle of the spectrum, so it's more like an Eva and Aveda, isn't a shomer sachar chai for an Eva and Aveda, and why would a shvua shelo pasha absolve the shomer sachar from liability here? So we wound up concluding yesterday, we left off a couple of lines down on Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph, but we left off saying that you're right, that ordinarily speaking, a Shomer Sachar should not be absolved from liability by taking a Shvua Shelo Pasha. Rather, the Shvua is a Takanas Chachamim. Why? Because if you did not permit somebody who's transporting, is doing his friend a favor, and transporting an item belonging to his friend from place to place, if we did not permit that fellow to absolve himself with a Shvua, then he wouldn't have anybody who'd be willing to do this favor. Nobody would assume on himself that level of liability. We have also seen the statement of Isi ben Yehuda, that the halacha in the Mishnah, the fact that the guy can take a shvua and through the shvua absolve himself from liability, that only holds true if there's no raya, if there are no edim. So if there are no edim to the mishap, then he could take shvuas and he could start absolving himself through a shvua. If, however, there were edim, if there was an other raya that he could bring in his defense, then we would force him to bring that other raya. We wouldn't allow him to get out of liability with the shvua. So today we're going to continue on discussing the shvua and the halacha and the din of Isi ben Yehudu, says that we accept the shvua only in the event that there is no raya to be brought. The perek is going to conclude with a maisa where there were certain porters who broke a barrel of wine belonging to Rav and some certain standard that belonged to Rabba Bar Hanan and some certain standards that Rav held him to. The next perek is then going to begin with the halachas of how you have to treat Paulim, that if you hire a day laborer, when the day laborer begins to work, when the day laborer concludes work, how we know, sources based in Psukim, how much food you have to provide for the workers, what happens if you don't stipulate anything, what happens if you stipulate generally that I will provide you with food, and the Gemara is basically going to springboard into a series of agadatas, which is going to last many, many days until the end of next week. It's pretty interesting stuff to the extent we can understand it. So says the Gemara, let's pick up from where we left off yesterday, which was Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, the last word on the first wide line. So again, we had been discussing the Shvua that both people take. If the shvua that the shomer takes, whether he was a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, when he's transporting an item belonging to somebody else, and he trips, and the item breaks. So what shvua is it? It says the Gemara, heiki mishtabeya. So what shvua does this guy have to take? So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, shvua shaloba kavana shavartia. That it's a shvua that I didn't break it that I didn't break it, that I didn't break it on purpose. So that's the shvua that the guy has to take. Also Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, and then Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no, shomer chinam yishava, a shomer chinam whose liability rests only in the case of pshia, he could take the shvua, but no sasachar yishalim. But a nosa sachar has to pay. Why? Because haikidinei vahaikidinei. A shomer chinam gets off the hook as long as he wasn't a poshea. A shomer sachar is chayiv even for gneiv and aveda. This mishap along the spectrum is more like gneiv and aveda. That's why the shomer sachar is going to be chayiv. So also Rabbi Elazar lemeimar, and then Rabbi Elazar comes along and says that in Gemara Kam Rav Meir, yes, I have a tradition like Rav Meir that both a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Socher can take the Shvua. Umiyu, however, to me ani im yicholun zev zeli shava. But I have a kasha. I don't understand why it should be the case that both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Socher can get off the hook with a Shvua. Bishlam a Shomer Chinam ishtabeya shalo pashaba. I understand that the Shomer Chinam takes a Shvua that he wasn't to Poshea. Ela Shomer Socher amai mishtaba, but the Shomer Socher, how does he benefit from taking the Shvua? Kilo Pasha nami boy lishlume. Even if the guy's not a Poshea, he should still have to pay because he's chaya for Gnev and Aveda. Vafilu Shomer Chinam nami, and even by a Shomer Chinam where we said that the guy really could take a Shvua Shalo Pasha, if it's true, Shalo Pasha, if it's true that he that he was not a Poshea, then the guy could take a Shvua that he was not a Poshea and he could get off the hook by taking the Shvua. But let's look at the facts. Is it true that by him tripping and falling and by the item breaking, that it was not the Pshia? So, Hote Nach B'Makom Madron. That's only if he was walking on an incline, then we could say it wasn't a Pshia that the guy tripped and fell. But Shalom B'Makom Madron, Mi Motzi Mishtaba, Shalom Pasha. However, if the guy is walking on level land, if there's no incline, can the guy really take a Shvua that he was not a Pashaya? The fact that he tripped is a Pshia. and even if he's walking on a place of an incline, nami the only time where the guy could bring a shvua, where the guy could take a shvua and he could get off the hook, he could absolve himself from the liability through taking a shvua, is only when he can't bring a raya. But heichadika raya, nesi raya viiftar. But if there's a raya that could be brought, if there were edim to the mishap, then the guy should be required to bring edim and establish his innocence that way. We wouldn't be able to allow him to absolve himself from liability with a shvua, because Isi said we accept a shvua only when ein roeh. But if there is a roeh, if there is a raya, then you have to bring the raya. So Isi ben Detanya, because we have an abraisa like this, Isi ben Yehuda Omer ein roeh shvua Hashem tiyev ein shneim ho yesh roeh yavi raya viyiftar. So that's another explanation or elucidation in the Mishnah. We already saw most of this conversation yesterday. So says the Gemara Vayter now. So who gavra? There was a guy Davi kama aver chavise dechamra baristika de Machuza. He was transporting a barrel of wine in the town square of Machuza. Vitavra baziza de Machuza, and it broke on one of the beams that were sticking out of that town square in Machuza. So also lekame de Rava. So they came before Rava. And Amarle, Ristika de Machuza, Shchichi Ba'inshe. Well, there are usually a lot of people in the town square of Machuza. So Zil, I see Raya of Iftar. So if you want to exonerate yourself from liability, you'll have to go find one of those people who saw the mishap, and you'll have to get that person to come testify. Why? Because this is the halacha of Isi ben Yehuda, who says that the only time we accept a shvua is when it's impossible to bring a raya. But where it's possible to bring a raya, you have to bring a raya, and you can't get off the hook with a shvua. So Amar Lei Rav Yosef Brei, so Rav Yosef said, Rav Yosef, his son said, Keman, who's this like? It's Ki'isi. Are you going like Isi and holding that when there is a raya to be brought, you have to bring the raya and we don't rely on the shvua? So Amar Lei In Ki'isi, Bisfira Lei Kavasei. He says, yes, we hold like Isi, and we, the halacha is like Isi, and we hold like him. So what does it mean with this double lashon that that I'm paskening like Isi and we hold like him? So the Ritva explains that the halacha of Isi applies not only in the din of shomer, not only by a shomer, but the din of Isi applies in any scenario where there is a raya to be brought, whether it's the context of shmira, whether it's any other context. If there is a raya, that could be brought, and there's also an opportunity to absolve yourself through a shvua, we rely on the shvua only when it's impossible to bring a raya. But if it's possible to bring a raya, then we make you bring a raya, we won't let you off the hook simply with a shvua. Says the Gemara another maisa. Ha'u gavra demar l'chavrei, and here's an example of isi, here's an example of isi's halacha, not in the context of Shemira. So this is sort of a proof to what the Ritva was saying, that when we say Svira Le'kavasei, it means that we hold like Isi not only in the context of a Shomer, but also in the context of something else. So Gavra Demarle L'Chavrei, there was a guy who said to his friend, Zil Zovenli Arba Mea Dani Chamra, go buy for me 400 barrels of wine. So Azal Zovenli, so he went and bought the barrels of wine, L'Sof Asol Kamei. Amar Le Zvina Lecha Arba Mea Dani Chamra, said, listen, you asked me to buy 400 barrels of wine, I bought 400 barrels of wine. However, Vitzakifaluhu, the wine turned into vinegar, and now it's soured. Sasa Lekame de Rava, so they went before Rava, and the issue was whether the shaliach, whether the guy who was charged with buying the 400 barrels of wine, was chayev or not. So why would he be chayev? The guy was sent to buy wine, and he bought wine. Well, if he really bought wine and then the wine soured, then the shliach is not going to be liable because he was told to buy wine and he bought wine. If however, the wine that he bought was not really wine, really it was vinegar from the outset, and the reason that the guy bought vinegar was because obviously 400 barrels of vinegar is a whole lot cheaper than 400 barrels of wine, so the guy bought the inferior product, pocketed the difference, and then was going to make a ruse and pretend as if the wine spoiled after it came into his possession. So Rava says, so Arba Mea Dani Chamra Tkifi Kala, that if it were true that somebody bought a shipment of 400 barrels of wine and all the wine was found to be vinegar, that episode, that incident would have a kol. It would be well known and people would be hawking about it. So, zil isi raya de mekora ki mizdavnes lechamra ma'al yavi bifter. Therefore, bring a raya that when you bought it initially, it was still wine, and then it only soured after the fact, and then you're going to be potter. So over here, we see an example of paskening like Isi ben Yehuda, of refusing to accept the shvua in a situation where it is possible to bring a raya, even outside the context of a shomer. This was a regular context of shlichus, not the context of shmira at all. Rav Yosi said, come on, kisi, amrele in kisi v'sfirele kavasei. So iskin Rav Chia bar Yosef b'sichra. So Rav Chia bar Yosef was mesakein in sichra. Hani dadru, these porters, hani didaru ba'agra, these porters who carry an item with a yoke. So a yoke is something that you would wear around your neck, and it would basically be able to, it would give you the ability to leverage an item by just carrying it around your neck, and by doing that, it would permit you to carry something that ordinarily speaking was too large or heavy for one person to carry, but not necessarily heavy enough that it required two people. So it basically permitted you to leverage the item so that you could carry it yourself. So the porters were carrying something with a yoke, and it broke. What broke? Machlokas Rishonim. Either the yoke broke, or the thing fell because the guy fell. He couldn't stand up under the weight of the yoke, and therefore the thing that they were transporting broke. But anyway, they were carrying this strange way, and something broke. So Nishlam Palga. So he has to pay half of it. Half of it. That's a weird halacha that he has to pay half of it. So my taima. So why does he have to pay half of it? So nafish lechad vezuter letrei, because it's too heavy for one person to carry, but it's too light, but it's not heavy enough that it requires two people. Karav laones v'karav lepshia, and therefore it's considered to be halfway between an ones and a pshia. On the one hand, it's not a pshia because you were using a yoke, and really it's not heavy enough for two people. On the other hand, it is closer to a pshia. So in that respect, it's closer to an ones. On the other hand, it is closer to a pshia because it was too heavy for one person to carry. So what business did you have carrying it? Therefore, since it's karav laones and karav lepshia all at the same time, we're going to force you to pay for half of it. So says the Gemara, Bedigla, continues on the Gemara, Bedigla, if you use a double yoke, then in other words, that it was fit for two people to carry, then Mishalem Kula, then you have to pay for everything. Why? Because it was fit for two people to carry. You had no business attempting to carry this thing with only one person because it's a pshia. So Rabba bar Rav Chanan Tavra Le'ahuna Hanu Shakuloi Chavise de Chamra. Certain porters were transporting barrels of wine for Rabba bar Chanan, and the porters broke the barrels of wine. So Shakaliglimayu. So Rabba bar Chanan seized their cloaks as payment for the damage that they did. So also Amr LeRav. So they went to Rav and they told Rav the story that happened and what Rabba bar Chanan did to them. So Amr Le. So Rav said to Rabba bar Chanan, Havlu glimayu, give them back their cloaks. So Amr Le. Dinachi. He said, really, is that the halacha? So Amr Le. In Leman Telech Bederech Tovim. Yes, and he cites them a pasuk that Rashi explains is a source for the halacha that one has to go lefnim mishuras adin, that you have to go b'derech tovim. In other words, what Rav is telling him is that the basic halacha in dinei mamonos? No, but you should go, you're Rabba bar Chanan, you should go lefnim mishuras adin. So Yov leglimayu, he gave back their cloaks. He listened to Rav. So Amr Le, now the worker said to him, not enough that he gave back their cloaks. Aniya anan, we're very poor. V'tachinan kuliyomi, we've been working all day. V'kfinan, and we're starving. V'les lamidi, we don't have any money to buy food because you didn't pay us. So Amr Le, zil havli agrayu. So Rav said to Rabba bar Chanan, go give them their fee for the day. Go give them their payment. Amr Le, dinachi, really? They were hired to go carry my barrels of wine. They broke my barrels of wine. Not only did you not allow me to seize their cloak as a payment, but now you're actually going to force me to do work that they failed to perform in a competent way. So Amr Le, in v'archos sadikim tishmer. He says, yes, he cited at the end of the pasuk that he cited earlier. And he said, "V'yarcha sadikim tishmar." In other words, it's another instance of lifnim mishura sadin. Why is this called V'yarcha sadikim? So the Nemuka Yosef explains that because it's the archa sadikim, it's the way of sadikim to feel rachmanos on human beings, even when they're not lahalacha entitled to something. Still, it's the derech of a tzaddik to be marachim, and the way that you're marachim here is by showing that you are rachmanis for the fact that they're starving, and you give them some money, even though legally speaking, they wouldn't necessarily be entitled to that money. So Adron al Hasochar. So now we will turn to the seventh parak, to the parak of Hasochar es Hapoalim. So says the Mishnah as follows. So Hasochar es Hapoalim, the Amr Lahem, Lahashkim Lahariv. So let's say he hires workers for a day and he says, I want you guys to come super early or I want you guys to leave super late. So makom shenogu shelo lahashkim v'shelo lahariv, in a place where it is not the derech to force workers, not the derech of workers to arrive early, not the derech of workers to stay late, ein harashoy lekofan, he cannot force them to do so. Makom shenogu lazon, next halacha, in a place where it's the minhag to provide food for the workers, yazon, then he has to provide food for the workers. L'sapek b'mesika, where it's the minhag to provide not only food, but also to provide relish for the food, yisapek, then he has to provide hakol k'minhag ha-medina. All this is like the minhag ha-medina, says Tosfos. Yes, this is all like the minhag ha-medina, but with a critical limitation. Only where you hire them stam, says Tosfos. Peirishri b'shesachron stama v'yermalahem achar she'eschiron kvar lahashkim ulahariv. Aval im hisnamei kara kolafitno. When do we follow the minig? We follow the minig when the guy simply hires the workers with no stipulations, because he didn't stipulate otherwise. And then after he hired them, then he tries to say, oh, you guys have to come early, you guys have to stay late. No, because once you hire them stam, everything's going to be like the minig amedina. However, if before he hired them, he stipulated that they should follow a certain practice, that they would have to come early, they would have to stay late, he wasn't going to provide food, then everything follows their stipulation, says Tosfos. But if you hire them stam, the halacha and the Mishnah is, everything is like the minhag ha-medina. Now, Maisa b'Rav Yochanan ben Masya, there was a Maisa with Rav Yochanan ben Masya, Sha'amar Levano, that he said to his son, say, schar lanu po'alem, go and hire workers for us. Halach u'pasak le'mezonos. He went and hired workers, and he said, we will feed you. When he came back to his father, Amalo, the father said to him, Bini, oh my gosh, what do you do, my son? Even if you make for them a suda that's like suda shlomo b'shaito, that's like a suda shlomo in his time, what does it mean, a suda shlomo in his time? So I would have thought it's speaking sort of sentimentally of suda shlomo b'shaito, like back in the day, Shlomo had, you know, such bounty and the horn of plenty and everything. Rashi Rashi says, no, it means much more simple. Pshat, Shlomo was melech v'hediot v'melech, we learn in the Gemara elsewhere. So when we say Suda Shlomo b'shaito, we mean a Suda Shlomo at the time that he was a melech, because when he was a hediot, he didn't have a Suda like that. But even if you make for them a Suda Shlomo b'shaito, le'yotzos yidei chavoscha imam, you will not have provided them enough food. Why? Shem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, because they are b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. And so what about if they're B'nai Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? We'll see in the Gemara in a couple of days that as great as the Suda Shlomo was, the Suda of Avraham Avinu was even bigger. There was even more plenty. And therefore, if you went ahead and actually stipulated that you have to give these guys food, you're never going to finish with your responsibility, with your obligation to give these guys food. Ela atchelo yaschilu b'malacha, quickly, before they start to work, seva marlem al menashe ein lechem ela la pas kitnis bilvad. You have to tell them that we're hiring you only on the condition that all we have to give you is pas and kitnis. We have to give you very basic provisions. Why did it have to be before they started working? Because before they started working, says Rashi, before they started working, there was no actual kinyan, there was no actual final transaction, it was only considered dvarim, and dvarim ain't by mishum mechusrei amana, dvarim are only because of mechusrei amana. So in other words, before they start working, there was no kinyan, at least you could still change the terms of employment. Once they actually started working, then you wouldn't be able to back out any longer, then you are up a creek, then you just have to deal with it. So it says, finishes the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Galil Omer, Lo yatzorich lomar, he didn't have to say this because hakol k'minhag hamedina, everything is like the minhag hamedina. And therefore, if he hired workers, it was not the assumption that he was going to feed them like Suda Shlomo v'shaito or Suda Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. It was the assumption that he was going to give them basic meal. So he didn't have to worry about all this. Says the Gemara like this. So pshita, so it's pashut. What's pashut? So going back on the beginning of the Mishnah, it's pashut that if you hire a worker, you should not expect the worker to arrive before early in the morning when workers tend to arrive, or stay late after the time when workers tend to go home. In other words, why would I assume that the workers do have to come early or that they do have to stay late? So says the Gemara, here's why I have to assume it. Lo tzricha detafalu aigrayu, that you added a little bit to their wage. So ma detema amalu adetafalu legraichu adaita de mikdimu umechash chisu bahadoi. I think that he's allowed to tell them that the employer is by rights allowed to tell them that the reason that I goosed up your wages is because I wanted you to come early and I wanted you to stay late. So says the Gemara, Kamash Malan, the Amrule, that the workers can say to him, Hi the Tafaslan, the reason that you increased our wages is that you had in mind that we should do a really good job. In other words, the reason that you increased our weight, that you gave us something extra, is not because you expected us to arrive early and stay late. It's because you wanted us to do a particularly good job. So the Ksos is Medayan. What happens if, in fact, they didn't do a good job? So let's say you gave them a little extra on the assumption that they were going to do a really good job. Now, if they didn't do a really good job, is the Balabayas entitled to the return of the little extra over and above the going wage that he gave the workers? So says the Gemara. So Amar Reish Lakish, says Reish Lakish as follows, turning to Pei Gimel Amud Beis. So Poel Bichnisaso Mishalo. At the beginning, at the entrance, it's his. We'll see in a second what this means because the words make no sense. Biyitziyaso, when he leaves, Mishal Balabayas. It belongs to the Balabayas. So what in the world does this mean? So what this means is like this, that the Poel Bichnisaso Mishalo, meaning that he has to be mevater from his time, explains Rashi. Eitzel balabayis ula hachshich etzlo. However, so in other words, when he comes back to the city, when he comes back to the city, Mishalo, he has to give up of his own time and he has to stay late at his employer in order to finish out the workday at his employer's house. However, Biyitziyaso, when he leaves to go to work, That's Mishal Balabayas. Then he has to take, then he could take the time from the Balabayas. In other words, he could stay in his house. Rashi explains, Mishal Balabayas, Einatzorik Lahakdim Elohim Netzachama. He doesn't have to leave his house earlier than Netzachama. He could leave his house at Netzachama. In other words, like this. I might think that if the work day spans from Netzachama to Shkia, then, or Netzachama to Tetzach HaChavim, I might think that you have to leave your house before Netzachama so that you're at the place of employment at Netzachama. Says the Gemara, no. You could leave your house at Netzachama. We don't force you to leave earlier. Now, when you're finished with your work and you're about to turn around and go home, if the time of work is until Tseis, there are two ways of thinking about it. Either I could leave my place of employment to make sure that I'm home by Tseis, or I can't leave there until Tseis. So the halacha is, I can't leave until it's actually dark. But I don't have to leave to go to work until it's actually light. I don't have to get up before Netzachama and leave to go to work. Now Tosfos over here says something interesting. So the assumption is that the workday begins at Netzachama. So says Tosfos in the middle, probably a third of the way down in the big Tosfos here, Dibri Ramaskla Paul Bechnisosa Mishalo. It says V'afal Gav de BeEzra Ksif Gav Binyan BeSamikta Shayu Osim Malacha Sashachar Me'alos Sashachar. That even though we say by the Binyan BeSamiktash they started work from Malos Sashachar, we're talking about starting work from Netzachama now, but we see that by the Binyan Beis HaMikdash they started from Alos HaShachar, Hasa Mishum Kavod Beis HaMikdash Havim Mekad Mitvei. That was only because, listen, they were building the Beis HaMikdash, so for building the Beis HaMikdash, they were going to afford it enough honor that they were going to get up super early to build the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Shar Poalim Lo Yotzim Lamlacha Elamei Anetz Ve'elech. But however, other Poalim would only leave to work from Netzachama onward. Ha'alicha hi Letzorech Balabayas V'afal Pisha Masker Knisa She besofa yom kodem yitzia she beboker kein derech hagemara kau damarav yuda liolam yachnes adam bechitov yetsa bechitov. So and then the second thing Tosfos addresses is this is a weird way to talk about how you have to behave yourself when you're working. I would think that the first thing you're going to tell me is instructions what to do on my way out when I go to work, and the second thing should relate to what I do when I come back from work. Why do we start talking about what the worker has to do on the way back and then talk about what he has to do on the way out? Tosfos says that's the derech HaGemara. Toras Chaim parenthetically explains why by the Yetziyah the worker doesn't have to leave before Netzachama. And the reason, says the Toras Chaim, is because the worker has to daven before he goes to work. And therefore, if we permit him to leave after Netzachama, he could already say Kriyashma and daven Shmon Esrei at Netz. Then he could leave immediately after Netz. And he could go to work already having davened. So now, anyway, back in the Gemara, we had seen that the worker has to stay at the house of the Balabayas until it gets dark, but he doesn't have to leave his own house until after it gets light. How do we know this? Shenemar, we have a source in the Pasuk. Tizrach Hashemesh Yaseifun, the sun will shine, they're all gathered in, Vel Me'onosam Yerbatsun, and they crouch in their dens. Yatza Adam Lefalo, a person goes out to his work, Ula Vadoso Ade Areb, and he works in his labor until the evening. So says the Gemara, well, why do you have to bring me psukim? Velechse hechen higi. You just told me in the Mishnah that everything is like the Minhag HaMedina. So if I hire myself out to do work and I want to know what time do I have to get to work and what time can I leave work, you know what the answer is? I have to look at the Minhag HaMedina. Whatever the Minhag HaMedina is, I should do like that. So why do you start quoting me psukim here from Barchi Nafshi? So says the Gemara, because it's Ir Chadasha, it's a new city, and therefore there is no Minhag HaMedina. Okay, but there's a Minhag, the workers have a Minhag. There's some prevalent Minhag that the workers have. So why don't we look to see where the workers are, where the people in the city are from? If the people live in the city, they all have to come from someplace. So let's see what the Minhag is in that place. So says the Gemara, Ka'asu. We're talking about where there were immigrants from a lot of different cities. It's like a melting pot. So what's the minig? The minig in New York, there is no minig because there are so many people from so many different backgrounds. And that's why there is no minig on Medina. Therefore, we can't rely on it. We have to rely on some sort of scriptural basis for when you leave to go to work and when you come back from work. Ibazema, another answer, Diamar Lahu, the Grisu Likapal Daraisa, where the guy makes a stipulation and says, I am going to hire you on the terms of a poel of the Torah. And what did we see? We saw Tosfos on the Mishnah who said that the whole halacha of a kol kaminaga medina is only when you don't make any other stipulations. When you make a stipulation, then it's going to be like your stipulation. Here you happen to have made the stipulation that you're going to hire the guys on the same terms as the poel shel Torah, and that's why we're citing these psukim as a source for when the poel leaves and when the poel returns. Darash Rabbi Zeira of Amrile Tani Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Zeira or Rabbi Yosef says the following: My dichsev tashes choshech v'ilayla. He made darkness and it was night. Bo tirmos kol chayse yar. And in that darkness stir all of the beasts of the forest. Tashes choshech v'ilayla. Tashes choshech. The reference to choshech is olam hazeh shadom elalayla. Bo tirmos kol chayse yar. And Bo Tirmas Kol Chaseyor, in it all of the beasts of the forest stir. Elu Rishom Shebo, these are the Rishom in Olam Hazeh. Shadom and Lechaya Shebeyar, they're a Doma, they're compared to a beast in the forest. Tizrach Hashemesh Yeseifun, the sun will shine and it will be gathered in. This is the pasuk that we quoted earlier. Vel Me'onos of your Batsan, and it crouches in their dens. Tizrach Hashemesh Letzadikim, the sun will shine for Tzadikim. Yeseifun, who's going to be gathered? Risham LeGehenim, the Risham will be gathered to Gehenim. Vel Me'onosim your Batsan, and that they will crouch in their dens. What is that? What is that a reference to? So that's a reference to Ein lecha kol tzadik v'tzadik she'ein lo madar l'fi chvodo. There will every single tzadik will have a lodging commensurate with his honor. So what does this mean? So the Maral explains that in Olam Hazeh, it's not apparent who's a real tzaddik and who's not, because you can't assume, oh, this guy lives nicely, therefore he's a tzaddik, this other person, bad things happen to him, therefore he's a rasha. We can't say that, because by Olam Hazeh, it's very difficult to discern who's a tzaddik and who's not. However, but in Olam Abba, it's going to be very easy to figure out who's a tzaddik and who's not. Why? Because everybody's station in Olam Abba is going to be exactly commensurate with the level that he's at. So Yatza Adam Lefalo, what does it mean, Yatza Adam Lefalo? Continuing in the Gemara and explaining the sequence of the psukim. So Yatza Adam Lefalo, Yatsu Tzaddikim Mekabel Scharan. The Tzaddikim are going to go be Mekabel their Schar. Ulavadaso Ade Arev. B'mi Shehishlem Avadaso Ade Arev. This is whoever completed his avoda ade arev. What does it mean? It means ade arev means until the evening, until the day of his death. Meaning, who's going to collect the schar? Those who were tzaddikim and those who were avdei Hashem until the time of their death. Why? Because if you're over averos before your death, then it shows that you're not a tzaddik. It could have the ability to turn all of your schuyos into chova. That's what the Marsha says. And therefore, says the Marsha, when we reference this Adi Arev, we're talking about people who were tzaddikim their entire lives, literally up until the moment of their death. Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon, here begins the Agadata, starting with this story of Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon, which is going to take a hiatus on tomorrow's daf and then pick up on Amud Beis on tomorrow's daf. So Rav Shimon saw a certain marshal of the government, Davitafis Ganvi, that this guy's job was to apprehend Ganavim. So Amar Lei, Heichi Yichaltuluhu. So he said, how could you prevail over them? Lav Kechiyusa Misile, are they not likened to beasts? Dechsev Botermas Kol Chasayor, and we say that this is the Rishaim. So, Ikadamri Maikra Kamarle, Yerav Bemistar Ka'arye Besucho, that he lurks in hiding like a lion in his lair. Sadilma Shakalta Sadiki Vishavakta Rishi. So, Elazar Rav Shimon said, how could he do this? He said to the certain marshal, to the guy who was appointed as a government marshal, how could he go about trying to find the Ganavim in order to apprehend them? You don't know what a person does in private. Maybe you're attempting to apprehend a Russia and you're actually apprehending a tzaddik. So how could you go do this? So the fellow said to him, "Well, what should the guy says to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, what should I do? Harmon Adamalku, it's an order of the king. I have no ability to get out of doing this." So Amar Togam Rechitabit. Come, I'm gonna show you, I'm gonna teach you what to do. So Ol Barba Shoya Lechanu. So what you should do is you should go at the fourth hour of the day to the diner. Rashi says the fourth hour of the day is when people typically ate breakfast. And when you see somebody who, who's drinking a glass of wine, holding the glass in his hand, and he's dozing off, surely, love, you gotta ask him some background questions, do a background check, see what exactly the guy does, and see if we could figure out why he's dozing off. If he's a server Marabanan, if he says that he's a rabbinical scholar and he's dozing off, it's because he gets up super early to learn, and that's why he's already tired in the fourth hour of the day. If he's a poel, then he gets up early for his work. So we should notice already by a poel it says kadim lavidite, by a Talmud Chacham it says akdume makdim. By a tzurvim rabbanan, it says akdume kodem. So there's an extra lashon of kodem, and that's because the Talmud Chacham should get up extra early in order to learn. Even earlier than a poel who gets up early to do his work, the Talmud Chacham should show a chavivas for the Torah and get up extra early to do the work. But anyway, if he's a Talmud Chacham, that explains why he's dozing, because he gets up super early. If he's a worker, that also explains why he's dozing, because he gets up early to do his work. So if he avidita balayla, and if you want to say, and if you know that the guy works at night, yet you try to check him out, you try to corroborate his story, and you walk past his house at night and you don't hear any noise, redu de radin. Maybe the reason that you don't hear any noise is because he does an avoda that can be done betzina, that can be extremely quiet, like lengthening metal wires. It's not anything that makes a lot of noise, and maybe that's why you don't hear any noise. So v'ilo, but if the guy's neither of these, if the guy's not a guy who stays up all night working, and he's not a guy who gets up really early to work, and he's not a rabbinical scholar who gets up really early to learn, then you know ganvu, then you know he's a ganav. Why? Because why was he up all night? He was up all night because he was sneaking around trying to steal things. But tough say, and you have to grab him. Now, Ishtama Milsa Be Malka, so they heard this back in the palace, and they said, Amru, they said like this, Kraina di Garta Iu Leave Parvanka, that the reader of the letter shall be its deliverer. In other words, you, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, you have these great eitzes as to how to figure out whether somebody's a ganav. Instead of explaining to this marshal how you know that somebody's a ganav, you're the expert. You should be the guy who has to turn over the gun of him. So as you, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, v'katuf as ganve. So they appointed Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon in this position, and he would be tofes. And he would be toe-faced the gun of him. He would find the gun of him. So Vazel, and that's what he did. So we'll see. The Chachamim were very, very displeased with him. But the Mefarshim ask, how is it that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon was allowed to find the gun of him? Hare, in the times of this Malchus, when they would find gun of him, they would put them to death. But Geneva is not an infraction that is punishable by death according to Torah law. So by Rav Elazar Rav Shimon turning over these ganavim to the Malchus, he was basically assuring that they were going to be punished in a manner that was more severe than the punishment that the Torah called for. So how was he was effectively condemning people to death for an avera that's not punishable by death. So there were a couple of answers given. One is that the onshin that are written in the Torah are the base level of onshin. They're the minimum, but not necessarily the maximum. That's hard to understand. It's hard to understand like that, because how can it be that the punishment mentioned in the Torah is the minimum? That means you could kill somebody who does anything because the punishment mentioned in the Torah is the minimum. That's not really mistaber. What's more mistaber is like the Rashba and the Ritva explain that basically this was a din of Eis Lassos, that sometimes the Chachamim of a generation, the leaders of a generation, can make takanas that go against the halacha in order to preserve the fabric of society. So in other words, if you see that people in your time are so into gzela and so into gneva that it's causing a societal breakdown, then you're allowed to make gzeras, you're allowed to make takanas to prevent that from happening. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who was one of the leaders of his generation, he saw that society was falling apart on account of the rampant gneva. That's why he was within his rights to go above and beyond what usually is the halacha in order to prevent this gneva from spreading. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon did this. He was the one who would turn over the ganavim. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said to him, Chometz ben Yayin, vinegar the son of wine. Who was Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's father? It was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. This is going to come into the story later. So Chometz, vinegar the son of wine, ad matayasa mote moser atzma amo shel elokeinu la riga. Until when are you going to give over our nation to death? Because you're turning them over to the Malchus as a ganavim, and the Malchus is going to put them to death. So Sholach Lehi sent him, Kotzim ani mechalam in akerem. All I'm doing is I am clearing out the vineyard from thorns. And basically I'm just getting rid of the bad apples. Why did he use this analogy of thorns and a vineyard? Well, because he was told, because Rabbi Shur ben Karcha called him Chometz ben Yayin, vinegar the son of wine, therefore he used an analogy that had to do with wine, it had to do with a vineyard. So Sholach Le Yova Balakarim V'yichles Kotzav. Well, it's not your job to clear out the vineyard from thorns, to clear out the bad apples. Let the Balakarim, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and let him clear out the bad apples. You shouldn't take that on yourself. Yom Echad Pogabo Hu Koves. One day he saw a certain launderer, Karya Chometz Bayayin, and this launderer was a mechutzav, and he called Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon vinegar the son of wine. Amar midechutzav kuli hai, from the fact that this guy is such a chutzpenyak, so hai shmamina rishiyi, it must be that he's a Rasha. Samar lu, they said to them, tafsua, grab him, tafsua, and they grabbed him and they put him to death. They had him in the queue to be hanged. So labasar denach daite, after Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon calmed down, also basre lefruke, he went after him to redeem him. He wanted to redeem him. He felt, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have this guy put to death. Vlamatzi, but it didn't work. So Kariyalei said to himself, Shomer Piv Lashono, Shomer Mitzaras Nafsha. Whoever watches his tongue is going to be saved from Tzaras. Why? Because if this guy would have watched his mouth, if this guy wouldn't have said this chutzpedik thing, I wouldn't have gotten upset, and I would not have condemned him to death. Zakfu, so they hung this guy. Now come to say Zakifa v'kabachi. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon now stood onto the gallows and was crying. So Amrle, they said to him, Rebbe, Al Yerabeinecha, don't worry about this guy. Shehu ibno balo nara marasa b'yom kippurim, because he and his son, they were bal and amarasa, and engaged nara on Yom Kippur. When not only is it usher to be bal and nara marasa all year long, but in Yom Kippur it's usher to have tashmish shamita, and they did this avera on Yom Kippur. So they're terrible people. Now what of this? Now what of the fact that they were bal and nara marasa? So we know it says in the Torah that the punishment, the onesh for being bal and nara marasa is what? Is skila. We also know after skila they would hang the victim. After they were sokolim, they would hang the body. So it turns out when this guy got hanged, it turns out it was a proxy for the misa of skila, and this is like we learn in the Gemara Sanhedrin that afal pi shadala misas butlu din dala misas lo butlu. Even though the dala misas are no longer given, the din of the dala misas are still around. So in other words, people who are deserving of a certain type of death will get something approximating that type of death. Just a little bit weiter. So Yaniach Yadu al Bnei Meav, he put his hands on his stomach. Anamru Sisu Bnei Meav Sisu. Umas Veiko Shalakem Kach Vado Shalakem Alachas Kama Vekama. If even this guy you had a suffix about, but it turns out you were on the money, certainly those who you are certain about you're on the money, and you're totally justified in condemning them to death. Muftach Ani Bechem Sheim Rima Vatalei Shalatas Bechem. I am assured that no maggot will ever be able to. Be sholate on these intestines. Nevertheless, he was still not put fully at ease. Tomorrow we'll pick up from a story of where Elazar Rav Shimon actually tried this out in practice to test whether any rima vataleya will actually be able to be sholate on his intestines. It gets a little gruesome, but we'll pick up there tomorrow, God willing.